This past week, Tuesday, myself and Alex and Kyle and Amy went to what is called as Bamboo Farms. It's a tent city down behind the Savannah Baptist Center. And as you walk to the front of it, you can see the tents. And we walked all the way in and all the way down to the bottom, which was the first part of it. It was just one of many parts that's down in there. And as we were down in there, we feed those who were in there, and we have a Bible study, and a question was asked. And I want to ask this same question this morning. This question was asked to me and all the others who were standing around. And this is the question. Do we actually believe that God can do what He says He can do? Mike, can you turn me down just a little bit? Do we actually believe? Now let this, think about this. Do we actually believe, Mr. White, that God can do what He says He can do? Now, this was the question that was asked me this past week. My knee-jerk reaction, I'm sure all y'all had one as well, my knee-jerk reaction to this question was, every Christian will say that they do believe that God can do what He says He can do. And I believe we all would say this, but can I tell you that our actions, our attitudes, our lifestyles, and our demeanors do not give any indication that we believe that God can do what He says He can do. It's the truth. Now, what is the number one driving factor that has to be in our lives to enable us, every Christian, to actually believe that God can, God will, and God does do what He says He can do? There's one factor that has to be in our lives that we have to have. It's got to be in there for us to believe that God can do what He says He can do. The answer to that question is this: faith. Faith. It sounds like it's easy, doesn't it? Well, that's easy. But it's really not. Faith is the one thing that every person, Christian and non-Christian alike, listen, we've got to have faith that Jesus can do what He says He can do. If you don't have some form of faith, you'll never become a Christian. You have to have faith. Amen? Now, church, how does our faith in God really look? How does yours look? How does your faith in God really look? How important is it that we have, listen to me, unshakable faith? I'm talking above and beyond, have unshakable faith. How important is it that we have unshakable faith? Let's look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. And those of you who are on the Wednesday night crowd, you know that I am getting ready to do something that I really don't want to do, but I'm telling you, God led me to do this or I wouldn't be doing it, because I am preaching ahead of what I'll be teaching on Wednesday nights. And this is shortly coming. This verse is shortly coming, and I promise you we'll get in a little more detail than what I'm going to be in this morning, but I had to go here. Sorry. Kinda. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 says this: as He, being Jesus, got into the boat, His disciples followed Him. Suddenly, a violent storm arose on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But He, being Jesus, was sleeping. Bryce, He was sleeping, man. Sound asleep. He was sound asleep. So the disciples came and woke Him up, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to die." But He said to them, "Why are you fearful, you of little faith?" Then He got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and sea obey Him." Now listen, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'm excited about this message. So you need to go ahead and put your seatbelts on, because it's going to be a good ride. Amen? It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with God. This is not my message. This is God's message. I was going in a different direction. I wanted to go in a different direction. But God said, no, I want you to go in my direction. I think it's important that I follow his direction than my direction. Amen? Are you with me? If somebody's next to you sleeping, I want you to go ahead and wake them up, looking at a phone, talking to the neighbor. Hey, listen, wake them up. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for all the blessings in life you give us. God, I pray that you would be with us this morning. Lord, we need to hear a fresh word from you. Lord, I pray that you would just help us, Lord, to feel your presence, to know that you're with us. Be with all those who are not here this morning. God, be with those who are listening to this message over the internet. God, we pray that you would bless them in a mighty way, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. Lord, be with us now during this time. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, amen. Did you see in this message? Did you see with what we just read? Did you see what happened in this story? Did you see the disciples? Did you see them? Did you see the followers of Christ? Followers of Christ. Dan, followers of Christ, Scripture says they were afraid. Is there anybody in here who's ever been afraid? Is there anybody in here who's been afraid of, I mean, anything, life circumstances, I mean, the boogeyman, that thing that lives under your bed or in your closet? Anybody over here ever been afraid, Gracie? Huh? Anybody ever been afraid? Well, yeah, we all have been. At some point in time in our lives, we've all been afraid. But let me ask you this next question. Does it seem strange to you that they, those who were walking with Christ, Keith, the disciples, they were walking with the Lord. Does it kind of seem weird to y'all that they were afraid? Let me add this to the question, add this to the equation, some of these facts, as to why the disciples should not have been afraid. Now, they weren't afraid. Scripture says they were afraid, and I believe Scripture. Amen? So Scripture says they were afraid. They were afraid. But why? Why were they afraid? Should they have been afraid? Well, listen, as we look at chapter 8, just at chapter 8, Jesus had just completed one of the greatest, if not the greatest, sermons of his life, being the Sermon on the Mount. Much of what Jesus preached in the Sermon on the Mount had to do with having faith, having great faith. Church, does it make sense? Let's go back. Let's go all the way back to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, 25. Look at Matthew 6, 25. Listen to what they had just heard. Matthew 6, 25. This is why I tell you, don't worry about your life. They just heard this. Listen, don't worry about your life. What you will eat and what you will drink or what you put on your body. What you will wear. Isn't this more, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They do not sow, reap, gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Listen to this question. Aren't you worth more than they? They just heard this, Gary. They just heard this. Listen, can any of you add a single cubit to his height by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Learn how the wild flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown in the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you? Listen to what he says. You of little faith. You have little faith. Church, listen to me. This message was fresh on their minds as the winds started to blow. The first cloud started to come over the horizon on the lake as they had just stepped into the boat. Listen, this was fresh in their minds as the first wind hit the sail and they could see the clouds coming over the horizon. They knew this. But there's more. Listen, these disciples had just seen Jesus heal a leper. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. Chapter 8, verse 1. Listen to this. It says,
When he came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. Right away, a man with serious skin disease came up and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, that last little statement that he just said, that the leper said, "You can make me clean." His words were evident of his what? His faith. A man who had no faith would not be speaking those words. Those were faith words right there, church. Listen, reaching out his hand, Jesus touched him, saying, "I am willing, be made clean." Immediately, his disease was healed. Church, listen to me. These disciples saw that. They saw that. This was fresh in their mind as the thunder rolled and the rain began to fall. Why then? Why then on this night were they not displaying the faith that the leper had? Why? Great faith. They had seen it. But listen, Kenny, there's more. There's more right before this. Listen, the same disciples had just seen Jesus heal a centurion servant from long distance. I'm not talking about, yet, come here, son. Lay his hand. No. We're not talking about that. We're talking about long distance. Look at chapter 8, verse 5. Chapter 8, verse 5 says this. When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, "Lord, please, Lord, my servant is lying home paralyzed in terrible agony." Jesus says, "I will come and heal him," he told him. "Lord," the centurion replied, "I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be cured. For I too am a man under authority, having soldiers under my command. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and this, to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it." Hearing this, Jesus was amazed and said those following him, "I assure you, I have not found anyone in Israel with so great a faith." Nowhere. Church, listen to me. These events, this very event was fresh on the minds of those disciples in the heat of the storm. In the heat of the storm, the very midst of the storm, as the boat sounded like it was cracking and it was about to break apart, this message, Kenny, was fresh in their mind. But it gets better. These same disciples had just seen Jesus heal countless numbers of people. Look at verse 14. When Jesus went to Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her. Then she got up and began to serve him. When evening came, they brought to him who were demon-possessed. He drove out the spirits with the word, and he healed two who were sick. Is that what your scripture says? All? Hold on here. It says he drove out the spirits with the word and healed seven. Is that what y'all says? No, it says all. All who were sick, so that what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. He himself took on our weakness and carried our diseases. There wasn't a person there. Keith, there wasn't a person there who was sick, demon-possessed, had a limp, had a scratch, had anything that Jesus didn't heal. Jesus healed them all. Church, listen to me. This event was fresh on their minds of the disciples when the waves were filling the boat. Where was their faith? Where was it? Where'd it go? Where was their faith this night? Now, remember now, that without unshakable faith, that's what we all as Christians should want to have. Without unshakable faith, we may say we believe in God. We may believe that God can do what He says He can do. But church, we have to really believe. We have to really believe to see God do everything that He says He can do. The disciples' faith was gone due to their present crisis. Listen to me. Listen to me say this again. Let this sink in, people. Listen. Their faith was gone because of their present crisis. Gone. They had seen these magnificent things happen right before their eyes. Jesus doing unbelievable things. But in their present situation, in the present crisis, their faith was gone. They could not see past the darkness of the storm. Could not. Should they have? Oh, yeah. They should have. Church, listen to me. Their faith was gone because Jesus did not seem to be with them. No faith. Just seen all this miraculous things take place. But because they felt like Jesus wasn't with them, their faith was gone. He was sound asleep while they were scared to death. Their faith was gone because they felt that Jesus did not care about them. Mark records in this same story in Mark chapter 4, verse 38, the disciples said, "Don't you care that we're about to die?" They didn't think Jesus cared. Is that remarkable, Gidget, when you think about this story and they had just seen everything that Jesus did, that they would make this kind of a statement? Jesus, don't you care that we are about to die? But this is exactly how they felt, church. Their faith was also gone. Their faith being gone had nothing to do with God. You understand me? Y'all with me? Their faith being gone had nothing to do with God and everything to do with them. Jesus had not changed. He was the same. Their faith had changed from great faith in Christ, from seeing with their own eyes, to absolutely no faith because of their present circumstances in a matter of five verses. Great faith to no faith. Five verses. And it all had to do with their present circumstances. Now listen, don't you sit here in a sanctimonious way and belittle these men. Don't sit back and say, I can't believe they saw Jesus do all this stuff. And when it came time for them to have faith, they didn't have any. Because many of us are the same way. You come here next week. Please come here next week when we have Vacation Bible School, and you're going to see a church full of people, they're children, but they're people who have great faith in God. What is it? Why is it that a child will have unbelievable, unshakable, earth-shattering faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but soon after they graduate from high school, their faith is rocked and shattered? What happens? Well, I have to go back to the scripture. Jesus said, for us to have what kind of faith? Childlike faith. We look at children and say, they're the church of tomorrow. No, they're not. They're the church of today. We should be looking at them to emulate the faith that we should have. Childlike faith. But our faith gets rocked. Our faith gets shattered. We can't look at in condemnation towards these disciples this morning. We can't do it. Listen to the sad truth. Just as we cannot believe that God can do what He says He can do unless we have faith, listen to me, we cannot have faith if we don't trust God. If we don't trust Jesus, we can't have any faith. None. None. And the sad truth is this, when we do not display faith, unshakable faith, we're looking at Jesus, Bill, and saying, I don't trust you. How in the world can we not trust Jesus? But so many of us do. That's where our faith is. That's where our faith is gone. We have no faith because we don't trust Jesus in Him saying who He says He is, that He'll do what He says He'll do. We think He's asleep in God at the bottom of the boat who doesn't care about us when we're in the midst of a crisis and we're about to die. But that's the furthest from the truth, church. That's the furthest from the truth. I want us to look now at Christ's response to their lack of faith. First thing we see is this. Jesus calmed the storm. I can't do that. You can't do that. Jesus calmed the storm. I don't know what this storm looked like, but it was a bad one. It blew in. The commentators I read, it says it blew in on the lake. And it was violent. A lake doesn't really have waves. Now, like Lake Michigan does, but I'm talking, you know, most lakes don't have waves, especially when you get out into them. There's a calmness to a certain degree. These waves were overtaking the boat. This was not a sissy storm. This was a big storm. Y'all with me? Jesus came out there, and Scripture gives us the indication that it was instantaneously calmed. I can't do that. I wish that I could calm the storms of life, but I don't have the ability to do that. People look at me at times as a pastor and want me to come up with an answer that will calm their storm and rage in lives, and I can't do it. All I can do is the same thing you can do, and that's point them to Jesus. That's all we can do, because there is never a storm that has come into this world that Jesus can't calm at the snap of his fingers, at the raising of his hand. He doesn't even have to speak a word, church. All he has to do is raise his hand and think, peace be still, and it becomes still. So the first thing I want you to see this morning is Jesus calmed the storm. Matthew's gospel says Christ makes a comment. Matthew records that Jesus made the comment, "O ye of little faith." Mark's gospel tells us Jesus asked a question. Jesus asked a question to the disciples. He looked at them and he says, "Do you still have no faith? Do you still have no faith?" What was he referring to here? Guys, were you not paying attention when I was preaching the message a few days ago? Did you not just see me heal this leper? There's no cure for leprosy. Did you not just see me heal this man from long distance, this centurion servant? Did you not just hear this take place? Did you not see it with your own eyes? Guys, were you not with me at Peter's house when Peter's mother-in-law? And listen, that's a big step for a man to heal a mother-in-law. You hear me? Amen. Did you not see me when I healed Peter's mother-in-law? Every person that was brought to me, there was not one that I didn't touch. There wasn't one that I turned away like the evangelists who say they have the power of healing. Amen? Listen. Jesus touched them all. He healed them all. Their faith should have been rock solid, rock hard, nothing faltering. And he looks at them in Mark chapter 4 and says, "Do you still have no faith?" Christ's actions brought a reaction from the disciples. Look at verse 27. Verse 27, chapter 8, verse 27. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and seas obey him." Their faith was growing again. Did you see it? It was there when Jesus performed all those miracles. In the midst of the storm, it was gone. Miss Dorcas, you saw it. It's gone. They were scared to death, weren't they? It's gone. But now we see their faith is growing again. Not because of what they had seen in times past, but because of what they had seen just then. Their faith would be tried time and time again throughout the Gospels, and the disciples would almost always fall short until one event took place that would make their faith solid. And that was the resurrection of Christ Jesus. I don't know why it took that. But it took that, the resurrection, for them to believe that He was who He said He was, with unfaltering faith. Church, why the test? Why the test? Why the storm? Why was it necessary? Number one, because Jesus wanted his followers to have a strong faith, not a weak, anemic faith. Do you hear me? Jesus wanted his followers to have a strong faith, not a weak, anemic faith. If you call yourself a Christian, you are a follower of Jesus Christ. He wants you to have a strong faith, not a weak, anemic faith. When Christ rose from the dead and left his followers to spread the gospel, their faith would have to be much stronger than it was presently in the scripture. It was going to have to be better than what it was, Brother Frank, because if he left right then, they were going to die. You know, they looked at Jesus and said, listen, you need to come save us. We're about to die. If Jesus would have left then, they would have died. Their faith was nowhere close to strong enough. Secondly, he wanted his followers to have faith in what they had seen and experienced in the past, not needing any more proof or reason to have faith and trust him right then, right there. Church, Jesus wanted their faith to be strong right then. He wanted them to be full. Full. He wanted them to be full, knowing that God had already done enough in their lives for their faith to never falter. Church, this isn't in my notes, but I've got to ask you, what more has God got to do that your faith will be full, that you'll not falter in your faith? Jesus wanted his disciples to have solid faith, even in the midst of the most violent storm, even when it seemed like that he had abandoned them. Listen, your faith will tell you he is in the storm with you. You ever been there? In the midst of the storm, and knowing that Jesus was right there holding your hand. I was there this week, several times, last week, many times during this past month. Why did Jesus allow this storm? Why? Listen, a better question. Why did he not stop it sooner? As it was coming across, why didn't he stop it? Hey, listen, better question. Hey, he is God. Why did he create the storm? He created it. He got in the boat and he walked straight down, straight to the front of the boat, grabbed something, put it under his head, and he went to sleep because he knew it was coming. He threw the seeds in the cloud and blew them in the air and went downstairs to go to sleep. Why? To make his disciples strong. To make them strong. He wanted them strong. He didn't want them weak. He wanted them strong. Let me ask this. I'm just about done. You do realize when you're looking at this storm, it was a test. Jesus wanted to make them strong, Poppy. And in a test, there's many different ways to test people. You can do multiple choice. You can do true, false. You can do, I always hated the paragraph. Write the paragraph. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And I loathe those math word problems. If a train is going down a track east and it turns north and three people are on the train, how many get off? My answer was always blue. I don't like those things. This was a test. Y'all with me? Jesus wanted, he wanted some sort of answer. He was looking for an answer. He was looking for a reaction, Bill. He was. What was Jesus looking for during the test and is still looking for today in us? Y'all ever thought about that? What's he looking for? When we're in a storm, when we're being tossed to and fro, what is it that Jesus is looking for? What was he looking for on this night with his disciples? Number one, for his followers to realize that the storm was a test of their faith. Okay, hold on a second. We just got in a boat. The weatherman didn't say anything about a storm. This isn't supposed to be here. This must be a test. Just one of them to see their faith growing, Listen, there's something else. For just one of those men in the midst of the storm to lay down beside him and rest knowing that there was nothing Jesus couldn't handle. Can you imagine Jesus laying there in the midst of the storm with one eye just kind of peeking open? Y'all know how y'all used to do when you were in kindergarten, you would pretend like you were taking a nap because your teacher, back then the teachers would beat you if you didn't take a nap. They would. I said, take a nap. But Jesus was up there in front of the boat sleeping, and he was just looking to see if just one of them would smile and know, okay, hold on a second. I don't know about you boys. Y'all keep worrying. I'm going to go lay down beside Jesus. He knows something's going on here. He's not worried. I'm not going to be worried. There's something else. Don't you think that during this time of the testing, Jesus was looking for one of them, just one of them, to be excited about the storm, knowing that strength and calm followed the storm? Just looking for one of them, Bob. One of them. Hey, there's something else. Do you think that Jesus was looking for just one of them? One of them to stand up and shake their fist at the storm saying, don't you know? Hey, wind blow, thunder roll, lightning strike, winds hit this boat, crush us. Jesus is in the boat. You can't take us. Just one of them. Just one of them. Just about done. Listen. Wonder if Jesus was looking for one of the men as the storm started to roll, just to wake him up a little bit earlier. Knowing, listen, trusting, believing that Jesus could and would stop that storm before the first wave hit the boat. Why did they wait? Bill, they waited until waves were filling the boat. They were afraid. They thought they were going to die. They waited until then to go wake Jesus up. Hey, listen to me, Christian. Don't wait till the boat fills with water. Come to Jesus now. Don't wait till your life is on the rocks. Come to Jesus now. Don't wait until you're afraid and you don't know what to do. Come to Jesus now. You're all going to have tests. I'm a pastor. I still have tests. Sometimes I fail. But I know where Jesus is. Gary, he's right in the boat with me. Never left me. So, how does your faith look this morning? Have the storms made you stronger or weaker? Jesus has never left you. He has always been right there beside you. Will you come back to Him now or after the next storm? Will you come down and take His hand with childlike faith like you did years ago? How many more storms are you going to have to go through before God gets your attention? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, I really don't have anything else to say. I think you've said it all. Please be with us right now during our invitation. In Christ Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come this morning as the music plays? The altar's open.